And then let's get into chapter 12 and we'll hear our message. Verse number 1. And in that day, this day of the advancement of the gospel, both personal and corporate, but he's saying it now personally also, you will say, O Lord, I will praise you. For though you were angry with me, your anger is turned away and you comfort me. This is the first thing I want to talk about here this morning. Is the anger of the Lord has been turned away and we praise Him because He comforts us. If we're talking about our youth in the Christian service, as the pastor said, it's because He first loved us. It's not a slavish a kind of service. It isn't something that is merely, it's a duty. It is something I do. It is something that it originates in the heart that's being taken captive by the grace of our sovereign God. It's the praise, is the responsibility. It's the praise, is the duty. But the reason of the praise is the comfort that's in our Lord Jesus Christ. As the Bible says, the love of Christ, it compels us. His love is, it is so great that it came down upon an unworthy soul, and it gives us the liberty of the gospel, the joy and the peace and the pardon, the forgiveness of sins, the power of the gospel to overcome our sins. It's what makes us to be able to praise our God. It isn't a praise that's being squeezed out of us by a whip. It is not by just because I have to and it is the right thing that I must do. It's because there is, it's a reward of the Lord Jesus Christ inside my soul. I've been liberated from the bondage of sin, and if you know that oppression, to actually been set free from the guilt of sin and to have the curse of the holy law up off your conscience and to have the actual power to serve God, it is a soul cleansing thing that sets the captive free. And that's what causes our praises unto God. As I think about myself here as a missionary and as to why I came, it was because, my sir, I was in the bondage of my corruption and I could not get myself out. And when I fell upon my knees and cried out unto our God through the shed blood of Jesus Christ and for the power of the Holy Spirit, He came unto me by the gospel. And when He set the sinner free, praise towards God, it began to come out of my mouth. And it was the joy of the gospel and the liberty of Jesus Christ that caused me to say, whatever I have in my whole life is yours. It became a point, my young brother, as to where I could not resist to hold back anything in my life because of this great love. Have you experienced it? Have you been taught by the Almighty God inside your heart what it means for the bondage of corruption it to be broken? Your anger is turned away and you comfort me. And then verse number 2 says, behold, it is God is my salvation. This is an actual fact. I will trust and not be afraid. It's the fear of God in a slavish way is gone. One of the problems of enjoying the pleasures of sin is that they only last a short time and then there's a judgment. But when God, He alleviates the conscience, it's the pleasure He gives. It has no guilt or shame. It has no fear of meeting Christ at the judgment seat. For Yah the Lord Jehovah is my strength and song. He also has become my salvation. And so let me ask you a question as we are talking about praising our God with our life. It is not just with our mouth only. It is not just to sing the hymns of praise or to sing of the new songs of shouts of praise, of thanksgiving. It is not just lip service. It is heart service. And it is actually with our life, our whole life, is lived to bring glory and honor unto our God by bringing men and women unto our Lord Jesus Christ. Our holiness is not to earn the favor of God, but is to give our gospel a testimony of our own life character that with sincerity it is believed, that it might be heard as it's spoken by us. But this sincere praise of God that's from the heart is a matter that comes upon a soul that has been relieved of their corruption, their bondage unto the captivity of sin, and that is because He has become, what's the text say? My salvation. He became unto us something He was not previously. Now, in order to become our Savior, He had to come down from His lofty throne to die upon a cross. His blood, it had to be shed to expiate, to take away our guilt and our shame in the sight of a holy God. He was made our substitute. And the value of His blood, it actually paid our ransom and freed us from the bondage of captivity. But when God actually becomes your salvation and my salvation, He's actually saying even more so, He's becoming unto us something I did not have before. What I had previously was the bondage of shame. And the guilty conscience. And I think, my brothers, at the reason that men are Calvinists in their head and it doesn't do anything inside of their life, their heart. It's their mind knows doctrine, but the heart, it doesn't love God or my neighbor. There's no willingness to sacrifice. It is no joy. It's because that actual bondage of corruption is only in theory. It's never been experienced. He's never become their salvation. He's never freed them from the, it's the curse of their own captivity. Let me ask you a question. Have you dealt with the guilt of sin? Have you and I been actually judged in the sight of God and found wanting? That I'm not good enough. I'm not good at all. Have you tried to serve God and failed? Have you realized you can't? You can't stack up. You can't do it. You don't have the power. You don't have the ability. Have you gone back into the slavery of sin and hugged your chains and found out that does not answer and satisfy my soul? Have you tried? And you got an F. Ask the grades here. Is A, B, C, D, F? F is as low as you can get. And all of us, in our own strength and in our own wisdom and in our own righteousness, has a failure on our report card, and it's against God. And what the Lord God does is He lets sin be your master. And until the imputed righteousness of faith actually touches your soul and cleanses your conscience, you're guilty in the sight of God. You can try as hard as you want, sir, to cover it up, but He sees our sin. You can try as hard as you want in your own strength to try to serve God, but He'll make you a hypocrite. Because it's the devil is just too strong. And your secret lusts, your secret temptations, things that can't nobody else see, will come into your mind and consume your conscience. So even though all men might speak well of you, and you stand in pulpit as pastor, and I know by experience, in your inner man, in your secret parts, there is a hidden agenda of pleasing myself, of serving myself, of praising myself, of building a name for myself. And the Spirit of the living God comes to oppress you for that rebellion and that disobedience. The very essence of sin is self-pleasing and self-seeking and self-dealing. It's self. It's involved with self. And we can't get out of self until we're in Christ Jesus. Until Jesus Christ comes in the gospel and by the power of the Holy Spirit and gives us eyes unto look beyond ourselves to faith in Jesus Christ, there is no burden I can take off my shoulders, my son. But when he comes, there's the forgiveness of sins. Hypocrites are forgiven by the Almighty God. That prodigal son, he went home to be with his daddy because it was better than the pig slot. It took a long time for that boy to realize I'd made a mess. And I cannot help my situation. I can't get out. But maybe my daddy. I'm going to go back home. And he went home so guilty, so filthy, so vile, so filled with transgressions. And when he got home, his daddy forgave him and threw a party. And he was surprised by the gospel. That's the grace of a sovereign God. The surprise of the gospel. As you see, I didn't want to perish in hell. And I thought it'll be better just to serve him on earth. And whatever joy I get, it's fine, but I'll have my joy in heaven. But I didn't realize there's more joy in Jesus Christ right here and now than anything in this world. The comfort of his forgiveness, acceptance in the sight of God. No more fear or shame. And the ability to serve Almighty God himself. My little one, and to have power over your body. And brother pastors, the peace he gives, it surpasses all understanding. It's the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I'll give it, not as this world gives, It'll have absolutely no guilt. It'll have no shame. It'll have you walking with God in fellowship. And in His service, and in doing His will and not yourself, you'll find what you've been living for, which is pleasure in Jesus Christ Himself. Everybody here wants happiness. Everybody is motivated by what will make me feel the best in the long term. And even back when I played sports, I used to train hard because I had an idea that if I worked my body into shape, I would be able to perform my job on the football field, and I would be rewarded. So even all the suffering of the hardship of pumping iron and having to sprint up hills and staying late after practice and coming early, it was because I had something in mind that was worth it. And the Lord Jesus, Scripture says that for the joy that was set before Him, He endured the cross, despising the shame, and is now sat down at the right hand of God. If you open there, please, it's in the book of Hebrews in chapter number 12. I just want to read you this. I've been thinking about this all day yesterday. It came to me as a flash. I have been reading some things by Jonathan Edwards on holiness, but I found myself not looking to Christ and really looking at myself and trying to be holy, and my joy was taken away. And I realized it's not just holiness that I want, it's the joy of being holy. And so my motivation is the pleasure that comes from desiring God. And so when I see it here in this text from Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, we're talking about Christian service. You youth, you hear me. The author and the finisher, the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy, because as it says in Hebrews 11:6, that he that comes unto God must believe that he is, and that he is a what? He gives us good stuff by coming to him. He gives it to me better at the Father's house than in the pig pen of my own rebellion. So I will arise and I will go unto Jesus, and I will serve him with my life, and I will praise him with my heart, because he keeps on bestowing upon us the grace of his mercy, his compassion, his pardon, and the joy of his service is in the power of the Holy Ghost, and it's the highest life I can possibly live. I'm a missionary, sir. In Nigeria, because I could not be happier any place else on earth. That's why I came here. Maiduguri means nothing if it's where God wants me to live and die. Can you imagine the souls in Afghanistan at the edge of death, but who believe I should stay? And the others who left, they did well. The Lord Jesus said, flee when they come to persecute you. It's okay unto leave out of a village that's being persecuted. But if in your heart, if the mighty God says stay, we stay. and to die with our Lord Jesus Christ and be comforted because I'm in His will. I'm doing what my Master says. He's a rewarder. There's a joy. I bet you they're happy. I bet you they're happy. They're as happy as they ever been in their life. Ready to die for our Lord Jesus Christ. Because a reward is coming and He's with them right now. That's the martyrs who were burned at the stake. Had their tongues pulled out of their mouth. It might not be any joy in that moment. But whatever it takes to honor our Lord Jesus Christ, He will give. And it's the best life I can live, no matter what it feels like now. Because anything else is guilt and shame. Who for the joy that was set before Him, all of heaven's glory, all of the worship, all of the praises, all of this man being actually worshipped as God, His people being saved out of the pit of corruption and escaping the wrath of His Holy Father, and the power to come back and to judge His enemies at the last day. For the joy that was set before Him, He endured the cross, despising the shame. And look at Almighty God, our rewarder. And He sat down at the right hand on the throne of God. Hallelujah. This man who had absolutely no existence until he was conceived in the womb of the Virgin Mary is the Almighty God from everlasting. And He'll be worshipped as God forever. Look at how He exalts a man who serves Him. Look at how He rewards Him. Don't let the devil tell you there's more joy in his service. It's not true. He's a liar from the beginning. If you want to be happy, you give your life unto Jesus Christ right now. And be mastered by His gospel. Live on it. And feed upon Jesus Christ. He said that my blood, it is drink indeed. And my body is meat indeed. And he that eats me, he that believes in me shall never hunger or thirst. You'll be satisfied in the deepest place of your being and of your soul. You'll have it all. With God alone, just you and Him, you'll have it all. It will be heaven if there was nobody there but me and God. But to see my brethren, it's going to be heaven on top of heaven. And to see the souls, our brother Confidence, who you helped to bring into the kingdom, is going to be heaven on top of heaven and on top of heaven. And it was the glory of God who needs nothing to bestow upon us the joy of serving God and of seeing His glory. And me and you shall shout, according unto Revelation 19, hallelujah, when God sends men to hell. True and righteous are your judgments. You've judged the great one. There's a reward coming, but I will praise him now because he has become my salvation now. And it's going to keep going up until the end of eternity, which has absolutely no end. Let's go back to our text. It's from Hebrews It's Isaiah in chapter 12, and I want to hit the last point in verse number 3 through 6, and I want to exhort you, the youth, and everybody else, to serve God. And I'm a little bit sad as I think about the missed opportunities, Pastor. How we ought to be working all together. Every Calvinist in Nigeria ought to be working together unto the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. But the scripture says here in Isaiah 12, and I'll begin at verse number 3 up until the end of the chapter. Since he has become my salvation, therefore with joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. It's you will keep on drawing and you will keep on drinking and you will keep on rejoicing if you keep your eyes upon our Lord Jesus Christ. All eyes on him. All eyes on him. And in that day, you will say, and it's because it's in our heart, praise the Lord, call upon his name. That's what you're going to tell other people. Call upon his name and declare his deeds among the peoples. Talk about his greatness. Make mention of his name is exalted, that he's King of kings and Lord of lords, and he rules over everything and everybody. Verse number 5, sing to the Lord, for he hath done excellent things. He saved me and all of his people through the blood of his only son. Raised us up together to sit with him in the heavenly places. This is known in all the earth. He's got a people everywhere. Every believer is on a missionary tour. At your job, with your parents, at your school, with your friends, your family, in the church, at the market. We're ambassadors for our Lord Jesus Christ. And the only ambition we have in our life at the top is to bring glory unto him with our life. And that's why the Spirit comes. And he'll keep coming for that reason only. He'll only send the Spirit of Christ if it's to bring glory unto Jesus Christ. If I want comfort and I want to live my own life, it won't come from the Almighty God. But if I want to drink from the wells of salvation, to live for his glory, to sacrifice myself for his name's sake, he will keep pouring upon us this grace of Christ, this joy, this peace, this comfort, this power over sin. He'll give us the Spirit to glorify Jesus Christ daily. And no adversity will slow us down. We've only got one person to please in all the galaxy, our Lord Jesus Christ. And He'll take care of everything else. And if they kill us, oh, to die is gain. That's what Paul meant from the depth of his heart. To live is to live for. And to die is to be with Him. Verse number 6. Here's our mission. Here's our duty. Lift up your voice. Cry out and shout. Don't be quiet about the gospel. Don't be afraid of what any man says. O inhabitants of Zion, O people of God, for great is the Holy One of Israel, and He's in our midst. He said, lo, I'm with you always. But we have to remember it's in the Great Commission. If I go to do my own thing and to live for Hashimu's glory, His Spirit will depart from me, even though He is with me as a covenant-keeping God. I won't enjoy His presence. But if we're in the Great Commission, making disciples, youth in Christian service, I don't care what job He gives you. I don't care what your gifts are in the kingdom. Your life is not your own. It's His. And when it's lived out loud, He said, cry out and shout. That's all out for His glory. That's from your guts. He's in our midst with experienced power. He's in our midst to cause us to be able to obey. And He's in our midst to reward our obedience with the pleasure of Himself. That's the Christian life. That's Christian service. Amen. I ask you to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ that you might be saved right now. Amen.